Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Drama today, a couple of different reasons we had with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I always love it when personal trainers get involved. Alex Guerrero, sure, doing an interview with the Boston Herald, you know, he's Tom Brady's trainer, the guy that is responsible for Brady being as good as he is at 44, did an interview with the Boston Herald and told them that Bill Belichick, quote, never evolved in how he treated Brady as quarterback. He felt that as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, Bill Belichick didn't need to treat Brady like he was still a 20-some-year-old kid that he drafted. He needed to realize Tom was different, he was getting older, and should be treated differently. And that was a Bill Belichick thing. He never evolved, and that you can't treat somebody in their 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Now, actually, this is a great salient point by Alex Guerrero, because there is one way with the Patriots. It's Bill Belichick's way, and that's it. Nobody is special. He never went out of his way to talk about how special Tom Brady was. Everybody that's ever played for the Patriots, they've been okay. They've been necessary evils. Well, I got to have guys on the field to win games, and it's happened to be these guys. Okay. So he is absolutely right about that, that Belichick never evolved. That's 100%. Shouldn't surprise anybody. But this was just a relationship that ran its course, especially now when you look in the rearview mirror. We've had a year to look back at this. Belichick and Brady had been together for almost 20 years. All right, that's a long time. Nobody else made it that long in New England together. Guys would come for a couple years, go, that's great, I won a Super Bowl. You're going to stay there the rest of your career? Oh, no, man, I'm out. I don't like this, man. I know, you know, Brady's here and Gronk is here and we're winning, but I got to go, man. I can't stay here. This is not fun. So, guys, you know, look, the normal shelf life of a star player in New England wasn't very long. Brady made it nearly two bleeping decades, right? And at the end, they're like a married couple that just got on each other's nerves. They played up the drama. Belichick wanted to draft his successor in Jimmy Garoppolo. Brady wanted to still stay. There was drama about the trade. He would sit out his OTAs. He wouldn't go there anymore. He was selling his house. There was a lowball contract offer to Brady. Both sides just wanted to move on and needed something new. All right. Belichick wanted to continue to run the team like he always ran it. Brady felt, I deserve certain things. Look, he gets Veterans Days off now in Tampa because Bruce Arians is a player's coach. And smartly, he knows Brady coming from this environment, we need to be a more player-friendly environment. And that's who Bruce Arians is. And here he is. They won the Super Bowl and they've picked up exactly where they've left off. That strategy can work for a while. Then eventually players are going to get lazy. They're not going to. But coming from one strict regiment, it's fun football now again for Brady in Tampa Bay. But this was all it was. Honestly, I'm amazed it lasted that long now that you think about it. Because I'm telling you, Brady right now is seeing how much he's loving life in Tampa Bay, and he's talking about playing till he's 50. Because I guarantee you, I said it last week, if you said, could you do it all over again, he would say, I would have left New England 10 years ago. I would have left after three Super Bowls, and then I would have moved on, and I would have gone someplace else and had a great last 10 years where I could be myself, where I could do interviews, where I could do things like, hey, I work hard, I'm not coming to OTAs, or I need a Veterans Day off, or something like this can happen. Guarantee, he's like, boy, I wish I would have gone 10 years ago. I wish that would have happened. And that's all this is. This isn't anything other than, boy, these guys are getting for a long time. They got on each other's nerves. The working environment wasn't great. They really were together as long as they could. I think it's honestly a big achievement that they made it 18 years together, 19 years together before Brady said, okay, I really need something new, and so did Belichick.
Well, and I think so much has been made of it. How many times did you see it in your scroll of, is this the biggest, you know, blunder of all time? It's like, everybody moves, jobs, careers. Nobody's, you know, you don't stay 40 years in a spot for a gold watch like you did generations ago. It doesn't work. I mean, think about our business. Think about anything you do. There's time and place, downs and distance. And when it comes to football, the same thing. It's like you've got family considerations. Maybe you've got teammates that you've been with a long while and you're riding it out with them as long as you can. And then once a number of those guys are gone, Maybe some of the magic leaves the building. Maybe it's not as exciting, even if you were still doing the same grind, right? Radio shows, TV shows, everything evolves beyond. And think about it, wherever you're listening, whatever you do for a living, there's always going to be a little bit of change, because if it stays the same, you get bored, and that's where, you know, well, bad things happen. Let's call it what it is. And you get angry about little things, and you get anxious, and all of those things start to creep up. For Brady and Belichick, you know, maybe it hit a point at that time, right? I've accomplished all this other stuff, and maybe it wouldn't have been 10 years ago, right? In your example, hey, maybe halfway through, man, I wish I would have done that. Maybe he wasn't ready at that point. Again, all the guys that were working with him, now you've got Gronkowski, maybe that reinvigorates thing. Now I got a guy that nobody bothers to cover when he goes across the middle, so we can have some fun, and we can keep winning, and he's a good guy, and we have some laughs, but still living in the quote-unquote Patriot way was fine, because you were still winning, and you had an infusion of new talent to work with, and everything there. You know, you're getting the proper love from most of the media. Look, some folks are going to be angry and hateful towards you no matter how long you play and how many titles you win. And Brady and company surely recognize that, as you and I do as well. But now you're in a different spot, and you've got a coach that knows it's not long term. Right, you hope it can stay till he's 50, but the reality is, all right, if it's 2 to 3 years, and by giving these guys a couple of extra days off, letting them pop off in the press, have a little bit of fun, we can maximize those 3 years? Because Bruce Arians isn't there for the long haul. Would you be shocked if, you know, as soon as Brady's done, he just says, you know what, I've had it? Like, I half thought after winning the title, maybe he'd say, all right, that's it. Because he'd left the game for health reasons, but he loves it. And obviously, he's an innovator. And you look at what they've built as that organization, the diversity, women, minority candidates, and all the things they do in the community to try to educate and bring people into football. It's a beautiful thing. You know, one of the great ambassadors between forward and curious phrases and sips of his drinks, as we talk about with Jay Glazer all the time. But just the reality is, you know, there's a time and space for it all. And at this point, 20 years of anything, you shake your hands and go, man, that was a really good run. Right? Yeah. I mean, relationship, any relationship, anything else. So to try to characterize it of, oh, look how this acidic this became and how hateful. It's like, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think it just kind of became all right, it's time.
No, and look, and when you think it's supposed to be forever, maybe you're just supposed to be together for a certain period of time. Right? And that's what it is. And that's all it was. Both sides, you can blame both sides. Belichick wanted Brady out. Brady wanted to be treated bad. That's how it goes. It's amazing they stayed together for that long.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, look, let's have a different kind of comp, because I told you that, look, Sam Darnold's just a guy. He's playing well enough. They played two of the worst teams in the NFL, but they did win these games. When you want to break down I don't want to say the evolution of a quarterback. When you want to break down what makes a quarterback good, what makes a quarterback not good, is that the one thing that it has in common, quarterback has in common with every other position, is that you need to be put in a position to succeed, right? That's what it is. You want to be drafted by a team that knows what they're doing, that is going to be able to put you in a position to do well, and not, hey, we're kind of figuring our crap out, so I don't know if the teaching is going to be as great as it is. I don't know if the learning on the job is going to be as smooth as it could be. You know, we got some problems going on over here. And look, that is a big part of the reason of development of a quarterback. Would Sam Darnold be a different guy if he didn't have Adam Gase? 100%. All right, Adam Gase is one of the worst head coaches of the last 20 years in the NFL. Right? He didn't do anything good. Nothing good came out of 2 years with the Jets. He was an offensive genius, and his team finished routinely in the bottom five of the NFL in every offensive category. They didn't give Sam Darnold any kind of weapons. Right, the one guy he had any kind of chemistry with was Robbie Anderson, who said, "Hey, I want $10 million a year." The Jets said, "We don't want that," and they let him go. That's it. They signed Le'Veon Bell, who was done. All right, they never gave Darnold anything. The offensive line was bad. The defense was bad. Adam Gase is a horrible coach. Horrible coach. And there's a reason why he's not coaching now. And whenever he does make his way back into football, it's going to be as some random wide receiver coach or assistant quality control guy. Something where there's not really any responsibility because he took the Jets and just ran them into the ground. Now, he also didn't get a lot of help around there, but Sam Darnold was never in a position to succeed with the Jets. All right, the first head coach, they fired him. Brought a new head coach. Wasn't any good for 2 years. They fired him. Darnold had different systems. The first time they brought him into the league, the guy who was his offensive coordinator hadn't been in the league in about a decade, and he hasn't worked in the game since that 1 year. Okay, that Jeremy Bates was retired. The Jets said, come in and be our offensive coordinator. Guy hadn't been in the NFL in almost 10 years, and that's the guy? That's the guy you say you can be our OC? And he was it for 1 year, and then they said, okay, you know what, this didn't work, and he hasn't worked in the NFL since. Like, what kind of decision is that? Okay, so realize the Jets are an absolute clown show. They have been a clown show for a long time, and now I want to think they've turned the corner, but then I look at people like Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson, and I go, I just feel bad for you, man, because that's the way it is. So to be fair to Darnold, he was not put in a position to succeed because the Jets have been so bad for so long, and they really they can't get out of their own way because there's no way you should be 10 years and into your fourth rebuild, all right? It's the longest gap in the playoffs and in the NFL. They haven't been there in 10 years. My entire 40s, the Jets couldn't get to the playoffs. So would Sam Darnold be a different guy if he actually had better coaching the beginning of his NFL career? Yeah, he would be better. Maybe he's this guy out of the gate. Maybe he is a guy that can throw 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, because that's kind of what he's going to wind up doing this year. It's kind of what he's on. That's not 35, 40 touchdowns, and suddenly he's rewriting record books and throwing for, you know, 4,500, 5,000 yards, but he certainly could have been acceptable enough with many other teams and many other situations. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being acceptable and being a franchise guy, but had he been with a better team that actually knew what they were doing and didn't change their mind on things every 5 minutes and make hiring decisions that were incredibly strange. I mean, you let Charlie Casserly say, hey, guess what? I want you to hire Mike Maccagnan as GM. The guy's on anybody else's radar. No, I like Mike Maccagnan. He worked for me. I like him. Hire him. And they had to get rid of him because he was awful. I mean, really, these are the decisions the Jets make, right? So just, yes, so I will give you that. The Jets are awful. From every bit of decision-making they could possibly make, they do. You know, if there was a room in a house and you told the Jets, listen, all these other rooms in the house are good, right? Any other room you want to go into is great. You go into that room, it's a bunch of TV sets. You know, you can watch whatever you want. You go into that room, it's a bar that you can make any drink you want. You go in that room, there is a big chef who's in there. Wolfgang Puck is making food. Guy Fieri and Antonio LaFaso are making food for everybody. You want to go in that room over there, it's the most comfortable bed you could possibly go into, right? You have all these choices. But if you go into this room, things are going to be really bad. So just don't go into that room, okay? And then you leave, right? And you come back later, you check all the other rooms, you open the door to the chef's room, and Antonio LaFaso is saying, where is everybody? And Guy Fieri is saying, I don't know. Hey, you want to play guys' grocery games? All right, not in there. You go into the room with the bed in it? Nope, no one's sleeping in there. You go with the TVs on it? Nope, TVs aren't on. Everything's even unplugged. Where are the Jets? And then you open the room that they said not to go in, and not only are the Jets in that room, they got their clothes all over the floor, they got stuff, they got the window open, they're playing music and singing songs. That's the Jets. That's the Jets in one analogy about a house with great rooms except for one bad one.
You okay?
No, I'm not okay. I'm not okay because okay,
Let me extend upon this after you've hobbled Sam Darnold. If you missed the misery reference, you got to go back. You got to listen to the whole show. It was absolute brilliance because now I'm going to bring you lyrical genius from 2021. Well, good for you. I guess you're getting everything you want. You bought a new car and your career is really taking off. It's like we never even happened. Baby, what the blank is up with that? That's the Jets and their love letter and angst when it comes to Sam Darnold. Look, we talk about it all the time. You can't get behind and down and distance, right? With the Jets, it's like you have the delay of game penalty before first down. So it's now first and 15. And you're climbing out. So for Sam Darnold, we don't know what he is, what he can be, because he needs to be rebuilt from the ground up because of the hatchet job that your Jets franchise did upon him. That's right. And I'm not saying he's going to go on to be some top five, top 10 quarterback, but quite clearly, operational efficiency was not in the hallways of the Jets. That was not showing up in any of their manuals. So tonight, 8 carries, 11 yards, 2 scores, right? That nice nifty little play fake to McCaffrey, and he goes in. McCaffrey, when he got hurt, I don't know if you've seen the replay a couple times. Looks like he was doing a Judy Garland click my heels going down the yellow brick road move when he actually pulled the hamstring and then eventually left. It's really kind of odd. But 304 yards passing and now back out to the Panthers faithful for a post-game interview, smiling, and he's, well, he's happy as hell to go back to Olivia Rodrigo there for a moment. DJ Moore with a big game, couple of misses for him as well. They had some big plays left out there. Chuba Hubbard ran well in the second half. It's a work in progress. But you did your diatribe about the Jets. Just and Ralph Ervin threw this up as a theoretical. What if you could have kept Sam now and drafted somebody else in that lofty position this year? Now
it doesn't matter.
Sam,
they would still
stink. Games, would you go back?
They would still stink. They would. It doesn't matter who you could have drafted. Tom Brady again, and it would be, boy, this Brady guy stinks. He can't throw the football at all. He can't make any good decisions. He threw 4 picks in that first game. No, look, Sam Darnold, like I said, this is who Darnold is, right? Sam Darnold's not somebody that is suddenly going to be an absolute superstar. He is a functional quarterback that will throw for 20 to 25 touchdowns this season, 10 or 12 interceptions, 35 to 3,800 yards, right? That's kind of middle of the pack for what you want out of a quarterback. And if you're a talented team and you're the Panthers and you have a pretty good defensive line and Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, which is the really big deal, you got a couple of wide receivers that can get some space, throw the football to, and Moore and Anderson, hey, then you know what? You can win some games. You could be that team that, hey, we're going to challenge here a little bit for the division title. Eventually, you're going to start playing better teams. You're going to come back to earth a little bit. But, that, you know, look, that's where Sam Darnold would be. If he was drafted by, if the Jets didn't take him and the Browns took him, that's kind of who he would be. He would be that guy. You know, can you do better? Yeah. Can you do worse? Yeah. So are you okay enough at quarterback with this guy? For now, eventually I want a guy that can push the ball down the field and make everybody around us better. That's the kind of quarterback I want. Okay. But Darnold's just like a lot of other guys who are functional and passable. That's who he is in the NFL. And that's who he would be if he was drafted by a team that knew what the hell they were doing. But clearly the Jets never know what they're doing. Again, all you need to know is the offensive coordinator was out of football for almost a decade, and he hasn't worked in the NFL since that 1 year as offensive coordinator. That's the guy you said, he's in charge. He's the guy we're going to put in charge of our quarterback. That's all you need to know. That's the Jets in one story. I mean, like the 12-year-old kid last night. Here's one play that typifies the Jets. That's the Jets in one story. And I can give you many stories about that. But that's where Sam Darnold would be. He'd be exactly where he is right now. And the good news for him is that he's young enough. You know, he's still, you know, when you're 23, 24, a lot of guys just come into the league this way. You know, Darnold was a younger guy coming in. And so he basically is like, okay, I feel like I'm starting over. Like those 3 years he had with the Jets, like they're never going to remember those. Like those are going to be 3 years like, I don't remember those. Remember that? Not at all. I actually went to a hypnotist and he took it completely out of my mind. So I don't remember any of that time I was there in New York. All I remember is right here with the Panthers as hey, things are okay and I'm a quarterback that they actually like a little bit right now. Oh, that's where he would be.
It's important stuff though, but you realize you've got to deprogram him. All right, this is go in and do everything you can. Where's the little flashy thing from Men in Black to forget ghosts and all the other problems that were rolling on there? Because the guy I watched tonight, for the most part, pretty good decision-making, pretty good at getting the ball out. The offensive line's working through some stuff, and they lost some defensive players. The injuries to Horn and Burris are actually concerning when you get into the tougher part of the schedule. Yes, I have to acknowledge that there are tougher games ahead, but you know what? For the moment, you beat who's on the schedule, you kick their ass, and you move on. And tonight, 24-9, you covered. You covered the number, and you gave back to your supporters. That's the biggest thing Sam Darnold did tonight. Not only did he win a game to go to 3-0, and send the Houston Texans and Davis Mills to a defeat, that guy's going to be in the ice tub, because if you saw some of the shots, America, that he took in the second half, that guy got worked to the ground repeatedly, and I'm feeling bad for what he had to endure. But the Panthers move on. Succeed and proceed. Take that victory, and if you cashed a ticket, do some good with it.
You know, and here's the thing about the Panthers, is now they're going to be in the playoff chase for the entire season, right?
Yeah,
and look, starting 3-0 is great, but the entire NFC East stinks, right? The entire NFC East stinks. The entire NFC North stinks. So there's two divisions where everybody stinks.
How dare you?
In the NFC South, you have two good teams. You have Carolina and Tampa Bay. But then you have four teams that could all be really good in the NFC West. Now, logic and math is going to tell you one of those teams isn't going to wind up being. Somebody's got to be in last place, right? But so far, the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, they could have been 2-0, but they blew it last week. You could add four 2-0 teams, but eventually you're going to see that. So you're talking about an extra year with an extra wild card, and okay, so Carolina, Tampa, and the teams in the West, that's really who you're fighting with, because everybody else stinks. And it's going to be the Sam Darnold redemption story all season long. And of course, he's going to take the high road and say, no, I got nothing but good memories. I got great teammates there. I got blah, 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 blah. That's all we're going to get all the way. But are the Panthers legit? Yeah. Yeah, they're a team that can contend for a playoff spot all through the season because they have a good team, right? Again, because I'm
fair on
this.
Week four, buddy. Week four. You know who they got?
The Panthers in week four? Don't tell me. Like, see, if they play the Jaguars, I'm going to be really mad.
No, they have the Cowboys next week. If they take down the Cowboys in Dallas, come on, let's go.
Oh, Sam. But look, that's why I've said, and I said it in the beginning, that because look, if I'm gonna tell you Sam Darnold, the reality of it, it doesn't jive, you know, jive with your timeline of Sam's great. No, but this is a team that was a great landing spot for any quarterback in the NFL because they have these weapons. I mean, it's a thing to say, oh, I got Christian McCaffrey, who may be the best running back in the NFL. Okay, I got a couple of wide receivers, I got a good defensive line. Great, yeah, they lost a couple of defensive backs tonight. They're going to have to kind of find their way through it, and hopefully Christian McCaffrey is healthy. But this is not a Panthers team that was awful. That was, hey, we're starting over, and we're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with Sam Darnold. No, this is, hey, we're pretty good. We just need a guy to come in and not stink and be able to push the ball downfield a little bit. That's all. That's all they need, and that's kind of what Sam Darnold gave them. That's what he, okay, this is who I am. This is what I can do. All right, and so far, so good for Carolina.
3-0, baby. Sam.
He was actually asked about the Jets in his post-game interview he just did on NFL Network. And his answer to the question, hey, they asked him about the Jets, and he said, quote, I don't want to talk too much about New York. To be honest with you, that's in the past for me. I mean, what a great moment this is for Sam Darnold. What a wonderful moment this is for him going, oh, New York, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I'm 3-0 here in Carolina, man. Enjoy it, because this could be as good as it gets, right? It's going to get a little bit more difficult for the Carolina Panthers from here on out. They're going to have to actually play teams that have wins, that have actually won games. So things will be a little bit more difficult. So maybe this is as good as it gets for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe that this is the moment. National television, Thursday night, Sam Darnold's 3-0. He's over 275 yards passing in all three games. They're 3-0. He's the toast of the town. Everybody, maybe this is the high point. This is as good as it gets. Maybe this is that moment that you think it's going to continue on, but this is really it. And from here on, it's all downhill. Maybe there's that.
Other than saying, hey, New York's in my past, the best way he could have ended his post-game interview is to stand up for all the faithful and yell, North Carolina, come on, raise up, this one's for who? And see how much of a response you get. There you go, Sam. Own the night, 3-0.
I'll tell you. And here's the down part, right, with being that. Is you went through the schedule. They play the Cowboys, right? This would be a tough one on the road, Cowboys. Then they have the Eagles, who stink. The Vikings, who stink. The Giants, who really stink, and then the Falcons, who absolutely stink. So they could be getting out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They could be 7-1 out of the first 8 games.
Thinking about that. See, now that terrifies you. That absolutely terrifies you, because on the other side, because look, that's going to be the back of all the fish wraps buried alongside whatever the evaluation is of Zach Wilson's interception tally.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Today, there's also really big news on the Tom Brady front, as today is the 20th anniversary of the play that launched the career of Tom Brady. It was 20 years ago today. The Jets were playing the Patriots, and it was the first game following 9/11. I mean, people forget that that's the backdrop of this was, you know, we played week one in the NFL. 9/11 happened. The world changed for all of us forever. They didn't play any NFL games that week. And I remember being on the radio and people would call going, why isn't the NFL playing? They need to play. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some of the places like, you know, Giant Stadium is being used for a morgue. That's kind of why they're not playing. People were insane. They wanted to play. So we take a week off and then we come back and we play our first week of football. And the play happens that launches the career of Tom Brady. Let's hear Dick Enberg and Dan Dierdorf with the call. Alex Teichert, let's roll it. And don't play the butt fumble.
Here's Tebow.
It's a game! Special moment for Tebow. There it is!
All right, now let's hear the play, or I'm going to key Alex Teichert's car after the show.
5 seconds to go here in Super Bowl 17. Dolphins trailing the 49ers by one. This will win the game for Miami. There's the snap. Marino holds the kick.
That was very difficult. It was an easy field goal for Finkel. Finkel is
changed the world.
Finkel's.
It really did.
Man, that did change the world. That did. Oh, by the way, shout out Jim Carrey, who that year did three movies and made over $100 million. I mean, 1994 was Jim Carrey's year. All right, so now let's hear the play that changed the world. I don't know what we're going to hear, but let's see what Alex Teichert has.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
You know,
he's bare-chested.
The big thing about that is that did not involve the Jets. I guarantee people thought, oh, that must be. No, Jets not in that one. All right, so now let's hear
drunk.
The play.
And there he goes.
Let's hear the play that launched the career of Tom Brady. I don't know what we're going to get.
Let's go. Going to run it. Needs 10 yards. Oh, does he hit? Oh, my.
And the ball, they're going to actually, it looks like they're going to rule that a fumble. And oh, look at Drew.
Yeah, this is more critical than the first down to the Patriots' hopes. Sean Ellis, 92, was carrying his 294 pounds along with Mo Lewis right into the path of Bledsoe.
So there it is, the call, the hit on Mo from Mo Lewis on Drew Bledsoe that knocked Bledsoe out of the game. Tom Brady comes in, was not able to get the Patriots into the end zone. I was like, ah, that Brady guy, he stinks. Oh, man, the Jets win. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a kind of short-term game for long-term pain. And then, obviously, Brady keeps the job. They win the Super Bowl that year, and Brady has the career he does. Now, Bledsoe was injured seriously. He couldn't come back to play for a while. It was a really difficult hit. I mean, Mo Lewis just absolutely slams him. But here's the thing about this is that to go back to that point, the Patriots were a feel-good story. They didn't have a great offense that year, right? They were built on their defense, right? That's exactly what they were. This is also Belichick's second time around. This was the game where the Rams said afterwards, we wondered why they were able to get on all of our plays, including one we put in the walkthrough that they were able to call the right defense for in the Super Bowl, and that really surprised them. This was the
beginning
of Spygate.
They've got amazing powers of observation. What are you trying to do?
This was the beginning of Spygate. Remember the it was that it was the play where what play was it? The 2-point conversion that they put in, and somehow they sniffed it out, and the Rams were like, how did they do that? And they wound up committing a penalty on the play, so the Rams got to do it again. But it was like, we just put that play in the walkthrough, and somehow the Patriots knew everything to call to get it, right? So this is the beginning
of
Spygate.
How about you look internally, and maybe it was a rat?
Maybe
maybe there was a guy that wasn't happy with his paycheck.
Don't tell anyone, but the Rams just put in this play. Shh. So this was a team that was built on Belichick the second time around, the beginning of Spygate, and a great defense. They did not have a great offense that year. Right? It's not like Brady came in and people think, oh, no, it took Brady a couple of years to become a guy that became a great downfield quarterback. And you know, it was a while before he was throwing 30 touchdowns in a season. If Bledsoe stays and the Patriots are getting the plays like they are, they're playing defense the way they are, Bledsoe wins that Super Bowl. Remember, Bledsoe came in the AFC title game against the Steelers where, hey, again, another great defensive game from the Patriots, and he gets them two scores that Brady was out of the game. And if they don't get those scores, they don't win that game, and it's the Steelers going on to the Super Bowl. If Bledsoe had stayed healthy, they still would have won that Super Bowl. Now, the other ones going on, look, at that point, I wasn't the biggest fan of Bledsoe. They had just given him a big contract extension. So all the talk of, oh, Brady was going to win that job, no, they just gave him $100 million, so that wasn't happening. Eventually, they would have gone to, Bledsoe would have found his way out of there because, look, at that point, Bledsoe hadn't been great in a couple of years. He was going to be 30 years old. So how much before they would have had to make the change to somebody else? Maybe another couple of years. You win the Super Bowl, you get another couple of years. But is Brady still there? Is he someplace else? I mean, that's something that changed the NFL because if that play doesn't happen, it's maybe Brady's career doesn't happen or maybe it happens someplace else. But that year, that Super Bowl beating the Rams, they would have won that game with Drew Bledsoe. Because it's not like Brady was great. Now, he brought great energy to the team, and things were different. Hey, here's Brady. Look at what he is. He's a great success story. He's making the clutch plays. But Bledsoe was still good enough to win those games, and he clearly showed it. I can come off the bench in the AFC title game on the road and find a way to win this and get us to the Super Bowl. They would have won with Bledsoe there. The rest of them, I don't know. But that year, they would have won with Bledsoe.
Strong team, built from the ground up. You probably still work with his arm more, right? Because you did pay him. And we still see that to this day and where we have fights over workloads, right? It's one of the great debates that Dallas is going to have in their running back room, right? Design plays to the outside and the explosivity of Tony Pollard versus what Ezekiel Elliott is as a runner up the gut and in the passing game and as a blocker, right? We still have it. One guy's got a big contract, the other guy doesn't. What does that do for touch counts? Likewise, going back there, you paid the quarterback, you were probably still going to pass a little more than perhaps you wanted to, and philosophically, you would dial it back a little bit. So, you know, bringing in the youngster, yeah, you had the opportunity to do so. So I'm with you. I think the roster was good enough. I would have liked to see it finish out, but instead, you know, I know you've been watching it. I've been watching it. We've had Party Thor ruling the world. We've had Zombie Captain America and crap. I mean, the What If series that they've put out with the retelling and redistribution of timelines in the Marvel Universe. Same thing here, right? With Tom Brady, he doesn't get the shot there. Does he actually ever have a real NFL career? Maybe. maybe not. Maybe he becomes one of those backup guys that's bouncing around three, four teams, kind of like all of his backups did when they were supposed to be coming in to succeed him when he was, quote, old after 14 years, you know, things of that nature. Hey, this guy's going to be the next. No, he's not. Brady's still going. All right, now he goes and bounces around, and we see where he ends up. And some of them have had nice long careers and made good money as backups and occasional spot starters, and some others found their way out of the league very quickly. Likewise, you know, other guys who might have been really talented went to bad situations, Jets, and just never got that second shot. Right, or deeper opportunities to get a look-see somewhere else because they didn't perform well in that first spot. And you all know if you have a team where they've been known as the place where, quote, quarterbacks go to die, that you've got some of those in your history. Tom Brady, because of this big hit, and really this should be the textbook from high school football all the way through of get the hell out of bounds. There's no reason to take that hit. You weren't suddenly going to juke back into the field and run 50 yards. Instead, you take a big hit. Yeah, the check's still clear, whatever, and Drew Bledsoe is a good guy with a big business. They just acquired a huge parcel of land, vineyard in Oregon. Like, I keep apprised of this because it's really good wine. Not to shill for him, but it's good stuff, Smith. Maybe I'll bring you some next week when I bring you your Guns N' Roses shirt. But for that hit, we the world may never know. Might have been a different timeline, and I could have been the watcher seeing something else.
Twitter at Al Badafresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. I cannot interfere. I am just the watcher. Hey, Drew Bledsoe, watch out. Here comes Mo Lewis. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm the watcher.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's an NFL team that needs an intervention. All right. Adam Schefter reported today that the Chicago Bears could slow play Andy Dalton's recovery if Justin Fields plays well. So just think about that for a second. The guy you drafted to be your starting quarterback could make his first start and play really well. And play really well for like 2, 3, 4 weeks. And still at the end of it, they'd give the ball back to Andy Dalton and say, go do it. If that happens, everybody in Chicago needs to be fired. And I'm not somebody that comes out all the time and says, this coach sucks, he needs to be fired. I mean, I will tell you guys need to be fired. But if that happens, I mean, if Justin Fields comes in and plays great and they slow play Dalton's recovery so they can give the job back to him, can you imagine that? Hey, Justin Fields has been terrific, but here comes Eddie Dalton, it's his job. I mean, really, everybody in Chicago needs to be fired. Because that goes against the grain of everything you need to know what to do to run a football team. Oh, our first-round pick is here, the guy we drafted to be our future. Yeah, he's playing great. What do? Let's take the job away from him. No. Doesn't that mean we give him the – no. We take it away from him and give it to a journeyman who we plucked off the scrap heap that for some reason we want to be really bold into. Justin Fields is your guy. He's not Taylor Heinicke. He's not somebody that shows up that, boy, I can't believe this guy is going to go. This is the guy you drafted. And if he plays well and you still give the job back to Andy Dalton, it's pink slips for everybody. I would walk in and have a big pink slip party in Chicago. Here's a pink slip for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. Everybody gets one.
How does this fit in with everybody getting mad at Schefter for going into business with Robert Kraft? That's all I know.
That's two.
How much
stories.
Does that affect his insider status? Was he able to profit off this unfairly? That's the bigger story. No. Look, this goes back to what we talked about yesterday and the botching of the latest media availability for Matt Nagy, the inability to get out of his own way. All he needed to say yesterday was exactly this. We need to evaluate Justin these next couple of weeks and leave it at that. Because I think we're all expecting if he plays well, he keeps the job. If he takes a bunch of unnecessary hits and he looks lost, which who knows, right? We'll see over the next 3 to 4 weeks, presumably, what happens here. And certainly we've seen some good things from him, seen a couple of times where the field vision isn't there. And save the argument of any other quarterback. This is about Justin Fields. You can have your say about any other rookie quarterback that you want to compare him to. Do it on your own show. Right now we're talking about the situation in Chicago and the fact that Matt Nagy can't get out of his own way. If he's playing well, then yeah, it'd be idiotic to make a move back to Andy Dalton. But to have this have to come out in press that it, just like that, it's just so dumb and obvious that did it need to be said? If he's playing well, they'll delay it, slow play it, keep Andy Dalton on the sideline. Okay. Where that really shouldn't have to be a report, but they've bungled this so badly that it does.
I mean, all the things you can say, but to actually, yeah, we could slow play it just so we could still give him the job back. No, sorry, Justin. I mean, what do you do? If you're Justin Fields and you can say, trade me. I really trade. If I can't beat this guy out by playing well, and I'm everything you wanted when you drafted me, I want out. Now you got to trade me. I've only played a handful. I want out because I can't believe what you're doing to me. I mean, really, don't you have to understand that he's your present and future? You don't need to be beholden to a guy who's going to be gone in a few weeks and not starting. It's amazing.
Well, you know he's your future. Mm. The present, if he can't play, he can't play. But we need to determine that.
The Bears need an intervention.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.